welcome to the Parents of Goers community. This podcast is for you and for me and for all of us, the stayers, as we choose to thrive with a child on mission. Welcome to the Parents of Goers podcast. Today we have Mike with us. And Mike, why don't you introduce yourself to our listeners and tell what you do in the mission world?
Yes, I'd love to. So yeah, I'm Mike Easton, and okay. I've got four kids, and you know, and my wife and I have been married for 16 years, and I was on the mission field with the IMB for a couple of years, and then missions pastor at Cornerstone Church for a while, and we had been sending a lot of people through Reliant International, and the opportunity came up to lead it about 9 months ago or so, and so in June of 2022, I started leading Reliant International.
Okay, can you tell us? You know, many of our goers are associated.
Yeah.
Many people listen to this and their kids are associated with Reliant. Mm. Can you explain the purpose of your organization?
Yeah, for sure. So if you kind of imagine that there's three entities in sending somebody overseas. So you imagine there's the sending church that's been a part of raising them up, helping them to get ready. We'll end up caring for them while they're overseas and just resourcing them. That's kind of the first entity.
Okay.
If you think of like a third entity on the ground, there's people who are supervising them and who day by day will help them be able to know what they're supposed to be doing, be a resource for them while they're overseas. Well, there's this in-between part of employment and donor processing and insurance and all the kind of like boring back office.
So we're considering them like employees.
Yes.
Okay.
Of Reliant in particular.
Reliant. So Reliant is their employer.
That's their employer.
Okay.
Yep. And so what we uniquely do in the missions world is that a lot of times missions agencies are the second and third piece where they oversee people on the field and they provide that employment mechanism. We know that there are some groups that are either like too small to start their own organization, but they can still oversee people on the field, and we work to help them be able to do that. So we call them like micro movements. So for those of you who are involved with Campus to Campus or Global Harvest Collective, like your kids are with those things, those are small kind of organizations that aren't their own 501c3 or nonprofit, but we can provide the employment that everybody needs to get health insurance, to receive their donors, all those sorts of things.
Okay, so this is helpful because a lot of people just kind of think of the sending church.
Yeah.
You know, they don't know the other pieces.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this is really helpful even for me.
Yeah.
So, and you assist our kids by kind of being their employer.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, for sure.
Okay.
Because, one, through the donor processing portion of things. Like, we coach them through the whole thing. So you get started, you know, I'm sure one of the questions that comes up is just, like, how are they raising the support?
Yeah, that's mainly what I want to talk about today.
Yeah.
It's, like, the importance of support raising.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
So
And so what we are a part of is we will coach them through that. So we've got designated coaches who have experience raising support themselves and meet with them on a weekly basis just to encourage them through the process, give them new ideas, help them think through more names of people. And it's amazing how many people hit 100% of their goal and how regularly I see that happening because of the support that we provide through coaching.
Right, yeah. I would say that support raising does not come naturally.
No.
To most.
No.
And so the coaching is probably a key.
It is.
To really help.
It is for sure, because I ask potential people who are going overseas often, like, what are the feelings that you have when you think about support raising?
Right.
And sometimes they say excited, but most of the time it's like fearful.
And that's fearful.
Almost 100% of the time here, fearful through the process. And so what we try to do is give them very clear steps that they can take to be able to do support raising and just some like tips. We help them with a presentation. Mm. We help them with the wording that they share with that. But then also we just help them with the theological side of it.
The basis.
So
why don't you explain that? So one of our questions here was, why don't our goers get a salary like a normal employee of, you know, a company or an association? Why do they raise support, and why couldn't they just get a job overseas? So all of those.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot.
Those are a lot of, but you can talk for as long as you want.
I'll see what I can get out of all
that. Okay, so why don't they get a salary?
Yeah, well, one, there would have to be a group that would provide the salary. And
okay.
So you do have organizations like the International Mission Board that have taken, you know, all of the Southern Baptist donations and put that together, and they fully fund some of their people. That's a very unique thing.
So they don't have to support race.
They don't have to support race. So that's one benefit of going through the IMB. But there's very few organizations that are able to put together things. There's maybe two or three other ones that I'm aware of that are able to do that. And so what a support organization like Reliant does is it works across, you know, denominations and across different types of churches to be able to work together with them to help do the fundraising. So unless there's like an organized large denomination thing to help that.
Funding, okay.
A normal church usually doesn't have the funding to be able to do
right.
it. And so oftentimes when you think of people who are support raising, you think within a church, the church is able to provide a salary because of the tithes and offerings of people that are there. That's to help the established local church that's there. And that's a great thing. When you think of mission, like getting out to places where the gospel's not known, where there aren't established churches, those people are going to places where the people aren't giving to the churches, you know,
right.
And that's kind of the point.
And they're usually establishing those churches.
Yeah, and they're usually establishing those churches.
Okay.
And oftentimes the places where they're establishing them, even if they had an established church, you know, that church could never fund an American.
Exactly.
Nor really should they, because once an American is able to get a church established, the hope would be that the American would move on and the church would stay local at that point. And so so there are ways to do that kind of denominationally. But for the most part, the way that missionaries have functioned and the way that missions has moved has been through people raising support and being
able that makes sense. That makes sense. So why, tell me a little bit about why people don't go and get a job.
Sure.
Yeah, because we do talk about things like business as mission occasionally. Mm-hmm. So explain to me why they go and they're just doing, you know, establishing a church, planning churches.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, and there are certainly many great reasons to be able to get a job within a place. Some of the challenges that you run into with jobs are, can you find them? Are they in a language that you speak? If you're, like, let's say that you're going to work with Procter & Gamble or something like that overseas, it's costing Procter & Gamble a whole lot of money for you to be living overseas, for you to be an expat in those locations. And so they're going to work you 60 hours a week.
So they don't want you to be doing something on the side.
So they have they just don't have the time to be able to do that. So those are some of the challenges. Now, I will say getting a job can be a really important part of just being in the country, money aside. So some people are doing teaching, some people are doing kind of a small business. But either way, generally that doesn't support an American family or an American person. And so most likely somebody will still need to raise some support. Sometimes people raise support fully just so that the money that they raise to the business helps locals to be able to be employed and things like that.
Uh-huh.
And that's actually one of my favorite businesses mission personally, sort of things where the American is fully supported by Americans, but they create employment opportunities
for
locals.
Yeah.
And that's both helpful from bringing the gospel to people, but also even just common grace of like where these people, there's oftentimes where the gospel has not gone is due to the difficulty of living in those places. And so poverty is rampant. And so when people can create jobs, it's a great mission both for like eternally and for people's lives, you know, here as well. But support is a key. That only works if there's supporters on the U.S. side helping people to
exactly.
do that.
Yeah, so. But that's really helpful. That's very helpful for us to understand this whole process. So how does support raising, you talked about theologically, you know, how does it support the mission, the overall mission of God?
Yeah. I think that we see examples in the New Testament of where Paul asked for support. Certainly we know that Paul was a tent maker. And he kind of went in and out of support raising. He would ask, many of his letters were actually had at the end, like, like, send me this, or I would love for you to give me support in this way. And Paul in Acts 11 was one of the bearers of a support gift to the church of Jerusalem as well. And so we see throughout the book of Acts, throughout the New Testament, the example of people giving support for those more missional sort of activities for people. And so what it does is it frees people up to both travel to those locations, and it frees up their time. So even Paul with tent making, you know, he likely would have been receiving some level of support to do some of the things. And so maybe he tent did, we don't know for sure. But let's say that he did tent making for 20, 25 hours a week. That allowed him, you know, the ability to spend as much time as he did writing his letters and, you know, doing those kinds of things. So we find support a very helpful way for mission to happen. It's also an incredible way for people who are working full-time in a place where the gospel is already, like what we are here in Ames, you know, for them to be able to be a part of the mission of getting the gospel to places where they're not because of their giving, because of their prayers, because of their care for people, all those sorts of things. And so one key philosophy that we help our people to think through when there's support raising is we call it missionary team, or ministry team development is what we call it. So it's MTD.
Okay.
So we don't call it support raising because what we actually want our people to think about is creating a team of people that will pray for them, that will care for them, that will just be thinking about them, and obviously giving their funds as well. And so we really have to work hard to help our people that are raising money understand that prayer and care is like as important as the money side of it. But then I'd say there's even a fourth one there of just the vision that is you know, captured by people getting the chance to hear about what is happening with our people overseas. Like Paul and Barnabas at the end of their journey, their first missionary journey, came back and just talked to the church in Antioch. And it said they spent no little time with them, as the verse 28 says there. And I love the phrasing of that, first of all. But also the idea that they understood that the church needed them as the missionaries as much as the missionaries needed the church. Like, we need that vision to remind us that the gospel needs to continue to go out in different places. And so missionaries telling us that through their support letters, are giving people of our funds and investing in that is not only great for the person on the field, but we've often heard of people who are giving feeling just as involved as others.
And it's good for us to see God, you know, accomplishing his purposes throughout the world. And so here at my church at Cornerstone, we have something called like Lunch and Learns. That's very helpful for me to go and listen to people that have been on the field or still in the field and they're just on furlough, come and talk about what, what's happening, you know, in the country where they're serving. And so I would encourage parents, especially if your child's, you know, a goer, that you should get involved in missions in some way in your local church to see what God is doing. You know, he's really doing stuff.
I had a personal story of that too. My mom actually didn't want me to go on like a Salt Company mission trip. So this was our college ministry. And so I didn't in college because I was like, well, I got to honor my parents, that sort of thing. I ended up after school going on a trip. And then my parents had kind of become believers around that time. And my mom actually joined the missions committee like afterwards.
What a cool
story. Things like that. And it was just fun to see how her son going on mission, or just, you know, somebody that she knew going on mission helped to, like, get her also involved in mission. And so there's incredible ways to be supportive on this side of the ocean that are so, so needed. And, you know, they talk about in the Army that there's, for every soldier that's on the field, there's nine people that are helping to support them in some way. And it's, you know, similar in global missions. We have to have people supporting on this side through prayer, giving.
But it is easier to want to support when you see what's happening. You know, so that's why I would really encourage parents to just get involved in some way and you can see what's happening. And it gets you out of your own little insulated world.
And go visit them. I know a lot of parents are doing that already, but there's nothing better than going and visiting them. You have all these ideas of what Thailand, of what Indonesia, of what Albania looks like, but until you get there, a lot of your fears will be calmed when you go visit there and see what their day-to-day
is. And you'll be so impressed with your kids.
Yeah.
And the whole relationship is a little bit flipped because there, when you're there, you know nothing.
Yes.
And
yes.
they're like the guide. Yes. So that's actually really good.
You'll be
good.
Humbled a little bit. But
little,
it's very,
little humbled.
It's a great experience.
It's a really good, it's a great experience. Do it if you can. So sometimes my kids will send out a newsletter that says something like, we're at 80% support, mm-hmm. or, you know, we're at 90% support. So what happens if my child doesn't get to 100% mm-hmm. yep. of their support?
So it is required for them to get to 100% of their support. And one of the cool things that we've seen time and time again is people who are at 80%, they're like a month out from being ready to go. And we do a little bit of coaching with them, you know, encourage them, hey, take this, pray. Like, we believe God has called you to this. And if God has called you to this, he's going to provide. Do the work. Be faithful. Yeah. Let's see what happens. And he just provides. It's
really?
I mean, it's been really,
so it
really
happens
cool.
time and time again.
Like, I mean, and so we have, with our organization, we have about 200 or so people overseas. And we train around 50 people every year for this sort of thing. And they almost always, you know. I mean, there's certainly some times where it takes a little bit longer than we expected.
So give me an example. If I came and said, okay, I really just need the extra 20%. What do I do?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What would you tell them?
So what we would, there's a few different things. One would be, let's go through your list again of people. And is there anybody that's missing?
How do they gather? Because like, I know my son-in-law, at one time I had to raise support, but he really wasn't a part of a local church as a younger person.
Yeah.
And he'd already asked everybody in the church that he was part of. Where do you go then?
Yeah, so we really help them think about relatives, high school classmates.
Okay.
Like, I mean, we generally ask people to have about 150 names that they're thinking through. And so usually they can get that from people that they're connected with, from a church back home. But there are often people that don't come from a church background as well. And so that can be a little bit more challenging when you don't come from a church background. And so, but we're amazed at who ends up supporting people, you know, like the unbelieving high school teacher or the, you know, or the, just the random acquaintance. Like, it's very interesting who.
Yeah, my kids have been surprised sometimes at the support and how much they would give. You know, once they kind of relayed the vision for what they're doing, sometimes people get excited and get more than you
really
may expect.
It really is amazing each time. And every once in a while, we'll adjust the budgets of some people if it feels like, okay, this is maybe too much for you. And you could get by on a smaller salary. We'll sometimes adjust the budgets. But for the most part, we really believe that this is not supposed to be that missions is not necessarily supposed to be something that you're supposed to be in poverty while you're doing
it. Right, right.
Like, the last thing that you need when you've already taken out your normal every like foundational thing, that you should be poor on top of it. And so we're not trying to help kids get rich, but we do want to make sure that they're saving $300 a month. Or,
tell me how that like, the salary of their support. How is that allocated?
Yeah. So when they raise support, they will raise a total number, and let's say it's about $4,000, just as an example.
Okay.
10% of that will go to our organization to be able to help out with all the different things that we do, from the employment, donor processing, kind of some of the creative things that we do to help them get in countries, all that stuff. Ends up costing about 10%, which is under the industry standard for that. And it's pretty good number overall.
Okay.
So if that's 10%, that's about $400 right there per month that will go to that. They will have other things like the employer match, FICA, all that sort of stuff.
Taken
that
out.
That they'll have taken out. But that is a part of their support raising that they do as well. And then their ministry expenses, like reimbursements, it'd be kind of like a business expense, basically. So at the end of the day, what they raise, about 60 to 65% of that ends up being salary in particular for them. So if somebody that is raising $4,000, they might have a salary that's like $2,300, $2,500, something along those lines from there. And then the rest of that $1,500 would go towards ministry expenses. It would go towards the Reliant administrative fee, some of the matching, some of the taxes that employers do, that sort of deal. So,
And
we all know that, like, an employee costs more than their salary.
Right, right.
And we forget about that sometimes.
Right.
But in our situation, that's where they have to raise the support for
Okay.
them.
Okay, so I've heard also people say, like, won't that make our kids feel entitled if people just give them money? Mm-hmm. You know, speak into that a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I have not seen it become that way for people because they have to do so much work of
so
asking.
Hard.
There's very
so that
few
is
people,
humbling.
It's very humbling.
Yeah.
I have found very few people that have said, that have gone into support raising, like, I can't wait to just earn money so I can do nothing. Like,
yeah.
That's,
yeah.
Or, ask people
for
support so I can do nothing.
Yeah.
So I just think that process of support raising, and support raising never ends.
You're always doing it because
people will taper off, or your salary will get increased, and so you need to raise more money at that point. And so, yeah, there's the possibility of that, but I found that actually more in the situations where people are fully funded.
Oh, like the IMB.
I don't want to throw shade or anything like that, but at the same time, I have found that entitlement come more through
that makes sense.
Raise support.
Yeah, because support raising just in its essence is kind of
a very humbling
position to put yourself in. So, okay. So I've also heard the phrase, and we kind of addressed this already, investing in the kingdom. Mm-hmm. So you said something about people can, you know, not just give, but they can pray and they can just be part of the support team. Is that what I'm doing when I'm financially supporting our givers? Mm-hmm. Am I investing in the kingdom?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I certainly think so. Now, there's so many ways to invest in the kingdom.
Yes.
You know, I mean, there's giving towards your tithe, towards your church. I mean, my hope would be that that's for 100% of our givers, that they're already giving their tithe to the church, and that this would be something that's above and beyond what they're doing. And for the churches associated with Reliant, C2C, Global Harvest Collective, like, those particular churches are giving to those missionaries because of what the church is getting from their tithes and offerings and stuff like that. And so I think that's first and foremost the most important, like, financial investment to give. And then I think what you can do above and beyond that is a sacrificial opportunity to be a joyful giver. I think it's 2 Corinthians 9 that teaches us that we're supposed to be joyful givers in what we do. And so there is a joy in just in taking what would have been used for pizza or for like a vacation thing or something on Amazon and actually giving it towards an endeavor that's specifically towards kingdom work and stuff like that. So
eternal
work. And so I hope that each one of our missionaries are doing things that are a great investment in the kingdom. That's what we're really trying to work on. We sometimes don't accept people because we don't believe it's necessarily the right investment for the donors. So we work hard on that sort of thing. But it's just one of the many ways you can invest in God's kingdom.
Right.
And so I think it's an important way to do it. But
and so as a parent, should I feel obligated to fund my child?
Yeah, that's
or
a great
maybe
question.
Their teammates.
Yeah, that's a great question. I hope that there's no, I mean, again, going back to 2 Corinthians 9,
joy.
That you would just come at it with joy.
Mm-hmm.
And so my encouragement would be, first of all, to pray and ask the Lord, like, what are you asking us to give, and to give not out of obligation, but to give out of joy. The second thing that I would say, this is just really practical, but I would encourage you to see what your child gets through just their support raising. See if they can become fully funded without you.
Okay.
To start off with that sort of thing. And the reason for that is I think they can, for one.
Okay.
But secondly, you know, you want to bless them, and you want to give them, you want to give them the Christmas gifts. You want to give them the, you know, like the random, you know, $500 here and there just to, you know, be blessed and stuff like that. See what they can do without you.
Yeah,
and
that's really good advice.
You want, you know, you feel like there's a gap, or you feel like you've clearly been led to giving $150 a month to your kid. That's wonderful. You can do that, but don't feel. I think some parents feel the need to help rescue their kids from that 80% to 100%.
Okay.
And let them walk through that.
Or maybe rescue them from, like, support raising
altogether
because they're embarrassed by it,
you
know, and they're now, if they listen to this, they'll understand that what it's achieving.
Yes.
The support raising. It's
and
achieving
I think that is a challenge for parents, like, when your child is asking your friends.
Exactly.
And when they're asking your family. I totally get that. And I think that's where, you have to have a conversation with your child about, like, okay, what are our parameters on this? But I think understanding that the way that they're going to present it is not in a needy sort of way, but in an invitation to people. We really train our people not to like coerce people into giving or make them feel bad for not giving, but just we tell them to think of it as an invitation, like invite people to be a part of God's kingdom and a part of like what he's doing around the, world, the world and stuff. So
yeah, it's
and
a if people, privilege.
Yeah,
it's a privilege.
And to help people understand if they don't give financially, they can pray and they can care for them. And that's just as important.
Excellent. Okay, so anything else? So we've talked about what Reliant is and does and we've talked about support raising. So anything else our parents need to understand specifically about support raising or sending organizations? Anything else you think would help?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's helpful to know that sending organizations are really trying to work hard to provide the legal framework for people to be able to do this. So one of the questions I often get is around health insurance, is around, you know, are people going to get a tax deductible gift, all that sort of things that, you know, that their child is likely not thinking about.
Right.
And that's one of the great things about these organizations is whether it's Reliance or whether it's any other organization, they're working hard to follow tax laws. They're working hard to provide the type of insurance that will cover their children. And oftentimes insurance overseas ends up being covered 100% through the organization that they work with. So we work with Aetna, there's United Healthcare, all these great organizations that provide, they work with healthcare providers within these different countries. They have evacuation insurance if your kid gets like really sick.
And, if there's like a worldwide pandemic.
Yeah, there's a worldwide pandemic. Yeah, all that sort of stuff. And so there's lots of great things that these organizations provide. And that would be something like if they just got a job or if they were sent just directly from their church, that would be more difficult to provide for them. And so that's where these organizations are really helpful.
Yeah, you're really taking care of the details so they don't have to worry about those little things that are really important, like insurance.
They have to fill out some forms, and we take care of the rest of that sort of thing.
Like you're almost the parent in that relationship
in some ways.
To let them have the freedom to do ministry.
And any business is going to have an HR department that that costs some money to employ people, and whether it's a business to do engineering or teaching or whatever, I mean, it's just, it costs money to employ people, and so we help to provide that service for them in the process. Yeah. And we provide the service uniquely understanding what they're going to be doing.
Right.
Overseas.
And you do it for these organizations. You do it for Goers all the time. Not nobody else.
Yeah.
Just for
It's just for people that are Goers.
Yeah. So that's excellent because that means you're the experts.
We do our best at least.
Yeah. Well, that's very helpful to just understand that it's not just our kids are sent from a sending church, and then we kind of plop them there, and they're all on their own. There's people on either side of them kind of helping them with all the details.
Yes, and we check in and make sure things are in place from crisis management to all the employment sort of things, and we kind of provide a little bit of the safety net for we mitigate risk. There's always going to be risk that's involved in this process, but we are helpful in making sure that it doesn't escalate to anything.
Excellent. Well, we will link Reliant's website. Would that be helpful for parents to go and look at it?
Yeah, and I can tell you my email as well. So mine is just mike.easton@reliant.org, and then you can visit www.reliant.org if you want to. And feel free to reach out to me with questions, and we have some parent information as well that we send out usually.
Great. And we've also done a blog in the past about this, so I'll link that. It's on the Parents of Goers site. So this is all very helpful.
Great.
So thanks for being with us.
Oh, yes. My privilege, for sure. Okay.